Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
'06 is always such a strange time for pro wrestling because even though WCW had died like 5 years earlier, WWE was all, ha ha, we are the big boys in town. And all these little promotions were trying to climb up the ladder. And obviously TNA was doing okay, but nothing really felt the same. And you could argue it kind of continued on to this until 2019, but we don't want to talk about that. That's way too modern because we are getting in our DeLoreans. We are going back in time. And given that it is Raw Rumble season, I thought, well, we've never talked about the 2006 version of it. Why not do it today? So my name is Simon What Culture. Thank you for joining me as always. Now let's all take our own fingers of power, which is not a euphemism, and give the good bits an up and the bad bits a down from the event that just came out of my mouth. The video at the start of the Royal Rumble tells us that Mark Henry is desperate for power. Like, has that ever been part of his gimmick? Who is he? Skeletor from He-Man? I'm pretty sure that he was already powerful and already throwing people around, but I will be honest with you, it did sound pretty good. And when you break it right down, that's all these hype videos are for. Forget all of that though, because the Royal Rumble 2006 in terms of visuals is absolutely awesome. You have this massive set and there's a big door with guards open it like they're welcoming royalty. I know I've said this before, but I'm saying it again. Why don't we do this today? WWE has more money than sense. I mean, you see that every single week on the TV. That's a joke. Everybody calm down. And yet it's the same old thing. So I'm going to stand here until WWE brings back unique sets, which means I'm going to die in this position. We then finally get going, and it is a six-way invitational cruiserweight match with a secret entrant. And I'm just going to tell you, this is Gregory Helms. And if you're like, Simon, you didn't put much more gravitas behind that announcement. Well, this is how WWE does it. He comes out to his like generic theme 101. Da-da-da. And they go, oh, it's Gregory Helms, as if they're meeting him down a coffee shop. You also get current champion Kid Cash, Funaki, the greatest wrestler ever, Nunzio, Jamie Noble, and Paul London. And this is one of those matches where you can kind of look through a window and see into the future, because they're doing flips, and my word, are they doing dives. But it's not as crazy as you'd see if you turned on the television right now, but at one point, Paul London does this shooting star press from the top rope to the outside. And even though there are five other people in this match, nobody bothers to catch him. Then this poor man, he gets back in the ring and Kid Cash gives him this brainbuster and he drops him right on his head. So it was no wonder a few years later he was going to laugh after Vince McMahon was exploded in that limo. He probably still weren't right. I tell you what does rock though. I mean, obviously Funaki, we've already made that clear. But the damn match ends with a Shining Wizard. I mean, better known in 2022 as the V-Trigger. This move, when it's hit properly, is so good. So when Gregory Helms does smash somebody in the face with his knee, pins him and becomes the champion, you go, yeah, well, of course that would happen. Who's getting up from that? So this was fun enough, and really, in many ways, Helms is so underrated. Like, you could put him in any position and he'd always be a solid hand. It is getting it up. Because it's also 2006, WWE hadn't abandoned the idea of the Royal Rumble tumbler, so you do get a bunch of wrestlers going in throughout the show going, oh, I can't believe it, I got numbered 72, even though that would mean they weren't in the Rumble. But the problem in 2006 is that this is a time when Vince McMahon had his Devils, which was just three women on the roster, that he did, so quite clearly he could just be massively inappropriate with them. I mean, honestly, some of the stuff he does with Candice and Tori Wilson It made me want to turn off. And I only didn't because I love you, but no, I didn't want to watch it. Triple H and Randy Orton are our first two, and Randy was all like, oh man, I can't believe it, got the best balls ever. Don't do it. Whereas Triple H was like, oh no, my balls are terrible. So you already knew what this was going to play out as, but it's just so fun. I don't want to tie it into the set rant that I had at the beginning of the video, but maybe it's something that we should bring back. You also get a quick skip between Trish Stratus and Mickie James. And Mickie James hasn't gone full on psychopath here, but she does use this moment to tell Trish that she loves her. Imagine you were about to go to your job, because of course they're about to go out there and have a match, and somebody went, by the way, Steve, I really love you. And you're like, Dave, I just want to do these accounts. Anyway, it is James versus Ashley with Stratus as the special guest referee. And if I was going to make a noise to start this match, it would be Now, we've already talked about this feud, which does culminate at WrestleMania, and that match is really good. So the advice I'm going to give to you today is just take 30 seconds, stop listening to me, but definitely come back, and instead, check out that contest, because I don't want to be mean, and everybody here tries so hard. It is not the best. Because the problem is, no move whatsoever connects well. Like, at one point, there is the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment. But the only way I could describe it is two people kind of hitting each other and then falling over on the floor. And you can tell what the fans think too, because as soon as any one of them is on the outside, you got a bunch of people going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They're doing the rest count at about 700 miles per hour because they just want this over. They want them to get counted out. There's then these things that I will describe as punches, and there's also a spear. And when Mickie James finally DDTs her off the second rope, well, I kind of just felt like everyone was done. That is the finish, and then Trish does this weird thing when she goes 1, 2, think about it, 3, and I get this was tied to the story, but you can't do that. If you are a wrestling official, you must count the fall, whether you like it or not. But then, yes, afterwards, Trish Stratus tries to touch Mickie James inappropriately. And if I ever meet Vince McMahon and I can ask him one question, it's going to be this. Why in 2006 did you have to book so many inappropriate angles? And then when you find out about this, you'll be so mad at me. You'll be like, Miller, so many questions and you asked him this? Point is, I'm giving it a down. It is then back to Vince and his devils after this. And honestly, it's just like watching a horny uncle at Christmas. I mean, there is so much innuendo here. I felt like I'd done something wrong, like I was riddled with guilt. And when Big Show get in there, the joke is his hand is too big, so he can't pick up one of his balls. I mean, it's basically all the stupid stuff I was doing 5 minutes ago. Rey Mysterio is here too, and when he gets his ball, he has to look to the sky and go, oh man, Eddie, you got me again. And we've already talked about this. Eddie Guerrero was one of the best professional wrestlers ever, and I'm sure he would have been fine with this, but as a fan, it just kind of feels, well, it's just uncomfortable, right? Let's move on. The Royal Rumble card up to this point then continues to be a one-match affair, because the next match is JBL versus the Boogeyman. And like most Boogeyman matches, it is essentially Boogs just doing this for a while and eating some worms. And as ever, Bradshaw didn't want to eat any of these, so he had to find somebody else to do it. And as he was affiliated with Jillian Hall, the poor woman has to basically have worms spat in her mouth. Now, think of this right now. You're a wrestling fan, you're young, and you want to grow up and be a professional wrestler. You make it to WWE. You're going to be like, flub me sideways. How did I do this? And then you're told, back in January 2006, some dude is going to spit some worms into your mouth. You'd be like, damn sports entertainment. JBL kind of uses this as some kind of distraction to beat up the Boogeyman. But once again, the whole time, they're just doing this. He got this strange dance. And if I was near him, I'd be like, Boogie, what is wrong? And now, seriously, he just does that over and over again. And he gets bored and he hits JBL with the pump handle slam and he wins. Which brings up another question. Why was WWE behind him so much? Like, in 2006, he beat everyone down. Back to the number fun backstage, and we see Shelton Benjamin with his mama. Yes, I know, let's just move on to something else. And you get Eminem picking their numbers too, because these guys all want to throw Shawn Michaels out, because they basically hate him.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It was then time for the Raw Rumble, although beforehand, the Spirit Squad come out and they just jump around for a while. And here's the thing. This is one of the worst things you will ever see, but it is meant to be awful. Like, these five kids were meant to be annoying. And if Shawn Michaels and Triple H one day hadn't gone, yeah, we don't think you're very good, and quite literally sent them packing to developmental, you probably could have pushed them in some specific way. Instead, they just came out, much like Boogie from earlier, did some kind of dance, and then we cut to a video, and when we came back, they were gone. Soon after this, we do get on with the Rumble and we learn that Triple H has drawn number one and Rey Mysterio has drawn number two. So no matter what you think about anything else, this is just such smart booking, because straight away you go, well, I mean, Triple H is a guy that could win the Rumble, and of course we all want Rey to, but now there's no way they can do it. It's the simple stuff that gets you. Rey naturally has to have the full Eddie Guerrero entrance, but we've gone into it enough. And then I'm very proud, I'm very honored to say, somebody makes their debut here on Retro Ups and Downs, and he's a personal favourite of mine. Say hello to Simon Dean. Now, Mr. Dean does not get chatted about enough anymore, because he took this gimmick and it's so great. He is just a walking infomercial, but he totally understands how to make this as annoying as possible, so much so you just start laughing. I mean, he just comes out on his stupid scooter, he's trying to sell his wares to everyone, and he genuinely rubs you up the wrong way, which is why I want him back tomorrow. He tries to high-five Triple H, and of course that goes terrible, so he and Rey Mysterio get rid of him, as they do to Psychosis, before out comes Ric Flair. Despite being crazy over, it's actually Hunter that back body drops the Nature Boy to the outside to thunderous boos, and then you get the Big Show, you get Jonathan Coachman for some lols, and then somebody backstage hit the big guy button, because here came all the big guys. Because you get Bobby Lashley, who hasn't aged a day, you get Kane, eventually you get Sylvain. And I don't know what to say about him. Booker T is a major surprise, because when he gets in there, he lasts about 30 seconds before Chris Benoit, who has also arrived, takes him and throws him out. But then you get your first proper, oh, I didn't see that coming, because out comes Tatanka. Now, for me, I love this, because I remember Tatanka, and I couldn't believe he was back in 2006. But if you watch the crowd, I'm pretty sure you saw one guy turn to his friend and go, who the hell is Tatanka? And also, don't forget, this means within the story, Tatanka had woken up in January and gone, you know what? I think I can main event WrestleMania. I'm going to the Rumble. Eugene pops in later, and as ever, he is just a massive walking bag of controversy, and he actually does get some boos here. But then the fans are happy again, because here comes Rob Van Dam. And honestly, this dude just has Jeff Hardy syndrome. It doesn't matter what he's done or what he hasn't done. If you pop him in front of an audience, they will just go cheer. But I'm pretty sure he could have been involved with the Katie Vick angle. And even today, people are like, man, it wasn't Rob Van Dam's fault. We give him a free pass. For some reason, too, during the 2006 Royal Rumble, WWE ignored one of their biggest rules, which is at some point, somebody will come out and clear the ring. But nobody does this. So I swear, at one point, there is about 13, 14 individuals in there, and it's really hard to make out what is going on. Now, Viscera does arrive at one point, but it's Viscera. Big Vis ain't allowed to do shit. It soon turns out that Randy Orton pulled number 30, which is why he was so happy before. But it's kind of disappointing, because you're like, man, Tatanka is the only surprise. And it's only now when somebody realizes, man, we got to start clearing the ring, so dudes start getting chucked over the top rope. There's also the tease throughout all of this that Eminem or Shelton Benjamin may actually throw the Heartbreak Kid out of here. But for you see, and as you know if you watch other ups and downs, at this point HBK was feuding with Vincent Kennedy McMahon. So out he came. He is just a decoy, though, because as Sean is looking at him, Shane McMahon magically transports in behind him. He throws out Shawn Michaels, and this is when I was just dying. I love this rule, and I will love it till my dying day, because you can be a non-official participant of the Rumble, throw out an official competitor, and the refs just go, yeah, that's fine. You're allowed to do that. We don't care. I mean, all sports should embrace this. All sports should embrace it to the point, if you have like the Super Bowl or the FA Cup final, another team that lost could just walk in, take out one of the other teams and say, oh, we're in this now. And everyone just goes, yeah, I don't know why anybody else didn't think of it. Soon it is Randy Orton, Triple H, Rey Mysterio, and Rob Van Dam in the final four. So that's a pretty good showing for him. Although, of course, he does get thrown out by the game. But the best thing about this is that listen to what I just say. Back in 2006, everyone was like, wait a minute, Mysterio is going to throw out Randy Orton and Triple H? That's not going to happen, but by Jove, it was. There's a huge reason fans lose their mind when Mysterio does Hurricane Rana Triple H out of there, but when he does the same thing to Randy Orton, they burst at the seams and it just makes you feel all warm and fuzzy in your tum-tum, because the love is there, the goodness is there, and it radiates out of your TV and it smacks you right in the face. So in no way overall was this a classic Rumble, and in fact it can be quite dull at times, but if we are talking about the finish of a match or ensuring that the end of the journey you have a fantastic destination, you have got to give it an up. And of course Rey Mysterio go on to WrestleMania to become the champion, and then it was just downhill, but I'm not going to worry about this. I mean, in 2006, I had hair. I've been through a lot, so I'll focus on that instead. He also instantly gets murked backstage because he bumps into Edge and Lita, who quite literally point him and go, ha, 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 you're never going to be the champion, but Karma is a bitch, man. He shouldn't have done that because Edge is about to fight John Cena. And it don't go well. Now, the story here did absolutely rock because, of course, Edge had cashed in the first ever Money in the Bank briefcase at the New Year's Revolution pay-per-view, costing John Cena after he had been in the Elimination Chamber. Now, at the time, nobody actually knew how long the rated R superstar was going to hold on to this, especially because he was quite the ratings draw. But WWE decided, well, we think about 3 weeks is fine. It makes it even funnier because on the internet at the time, there were some people going, see, I told you, WWE have given up on John Cena. And then 10 years later, they were still trying to pretend this was true. And they really couldn't have been even more wrong, because not only does he get his championship back, he also gets some crazy entrance with a hydraulic ramp, I suppose you'd have to call it. And don't forget, this isn't WrestleMania, it's the Royal Rumble, but the powers that be still went, John ain't just gonna walk to the ring, he's our favorite. I mean, everyone still boos the man, but WWE doesn't care by this point. And it's so obvious that John Cena and Edge have decided we have to go out there and we have to have a classic and start some kind of a long-term feud. And while this is really good, they never really hit that peak. I couldn't really tell you why. I mean, there is this really good bit when Edge spears John Cena into the steel steps. You're like, oh man, they're going all out here trying to hit home runs. And there's another good tease when Edge gets back in the ring at 9 and it looks like John Cena is going to get counted out. But forget all of that. None of it matters. Because the best thing about this match is John Cena's shouting. At one point, he just looks at Edge and goes, shoulder tackle, and there's no way. He's trying to cover his voice. He is just yelling. And I know that everybody gets on his case for this, but I think it's brilliant, and I think all wrestlers should do this because it really makes me laugh. Cena also goes to the top rope and tries that top rope leg drop thingamajig he was doing at the time, but he just lands and destroys his ass. Shouldn't have said that, but you know what I mean. He also goes for the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, but amazingly it doesn't work, and you can kind of see this finish coming a mile away. Like, there's some fracas or some nonsense where Edge and Lita go crashing into each other. This makes Edge goes, oh no, I forgot I'm in a match. He gets AA'd. Finally, he gets put in the STFU, and he taps out. Now, I did enjoy this, because both guys are such good workers, but again, 3 weeks of the Edge title reign, that was just redonkulous, but I'm still giving it up. WWE then decided they would Rey Mysterio, Lita and Edge, because when they get backstage, they bump into Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who of course looks at Lita and just goes, oh. And if you're thinking there is a double meaning to this, yes, you are correct. So with everything here and with Vince's devils, I'm just gonna make myself feel better inside and give it a down. This also does mean that the main event for the Royal Rumble 2006 is Kurt Angle taking on Mark Skeletor Henry. I like Kurt Angle and I like Mark Henry, but I will never be able to figure out who chose this. Now, Angle was the man at this stage and capable of even dragging my ass to a good match, but Mark Henry was still finding his way, and as we know, it would be a few years before he entered the Hall of Pain and became an absolute superstar. I mean, it just doesn't feel like it should be last, which does play on your mind, especially when you've got the Royal Rumble over there staring at you. Why didn't we switch these two things around? Fans are just so worn out too, I think they're dreaming about going home. This is quite so plays as Mark Henry picks up Kurt Angle and he throws him around and he drops him on the top rope and then he gives him a bear hug. But you know this isn't gonna work because he ain't no bear and there's no bears around to hug anyway. Because Mark is so big, Kurt isn't able to pick his leg or hit the Angle Slam, and that does build to this cool looking German suplex. But even after he hit it, I was like, was that enough for me? And I think the answer was no. There is a ref bump, which is way too much given all the other shenanigans we have done on the show. But this was to allow Daivari to come out, who had been teamed up with Mark Henry after that other thing had happened. But he gets smashed with a chair, and then Mark Henry gets smashed in the penis, and he also gets smashed with a chair. Then he gets his shoulder up or two, because of course we're trying to bill him as a monster. I just did that. As always, I just do an emoji shrug. I then had to check my notes, and yes, Kurt Angle was the babyface here because he goes to explode the turnbuckle, but Mark Henry proved he had been playing too much Arkham Asylum, even though this wouldn't come out for a couple of years, because he just runs at Angle. Angle gets out the way, he twonks his head, and he knocks himself out. This, of course, allows Angle to hit the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment to pin Mark Henry and still be the champion. That is such a lame end to the Royal Rumble. So no, this one did not work for me, and I'm giving it a down. It also turned out, ironically, this whole main event was basically one angle to set up another angle, because as soon as we are done, The Undertaker makes his big return to the WWE. Or at least this is how the commentators sell it, but in reality, he'd only been away for about 5 weeks. He also comes out on this chariot thing led by a horse, and as ever, I was just dying, because what was the point of it? He, like, moves about 10 feet, and then he just stops. He went to all this effort and probably hired the damn horse just to go trot, 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 stop. Undertaker, you a fool. He stares down Angle and, of course, uses his magic powers to destroy the ring and the ringside area, which I bet annoyed the ring crew. And all of this was building to Kurt Angle versus The Undertaker, as well as a Mark Henry match that we have talked about already here on Retro Ups and Downs. So it is a pretty cool ending, although it is also pretty weird. Why the hell didn't we just put the Royal Rumbles here? But it is very good, I'm not going to pretend otherwise, and it makes me turn into a child again. And if you have been watching this last bit going, Simon, why have your face and clothes changed? Well, maybe something happened to the video, and maybe we had to record it again. Let's get back to it. As always, I leave you with a second opinion, in this case, Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observer Ratings, which obviously he did back in 2006. The Cruiserweight Classic gets 2.5 stars. Mickie James versus Ashley got -0.5 star, or maybe 1.5 stars. I think it's just 0.5 star. It could be 1.5 stars. It's really small on my phone. The Boogeyman versus JBL got a dud. The Rumble gets 3.5 stars. Very fair by Dave Meltzer there. John Chayna versus Edge got 2 stars. Kurt Angle, Mark Henry got 3.25 stars, which actually means I did read that one wrong. You know, the Ashley Mickie James one did get -1.5 stars. Which brings us to the end of another Retro Ups and Downs, and I want to thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for always watching. I appreciate you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.